Amen, amen. I wanted to do a little how I gotta get a little step in this morning at the 8 o'clock service. It's good to see all your faces here this morning. I see some familiar faces, but the lights are bright and I'm getting a little bit older. It's harder to see some of you, but I thank God that I'm here today and was given an opportunity by a senior pastor, Dr. DZ Cofield. Y'all give him a round of applause. I know he's busy writing and busy getting everything that God would have him to do, but he's allowed us to, preachers to come in here and preach the word here today. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to come. It's been a while. I actually was extremely happy to come into the 8 o'clock service because as some of you might know, my family and my daughter has gone through a lot of health challenges, and y'all actually really did provide a financial blessing to my family. And if the giving statements were anything like I was when I was on staff, I know that this service was the main contributor. So thank you so much for all the love and all the gifts that you have given us. Y'all give yourselves a round of applause, because I'm so thankful. As you get older, you realize that nobody has to do anything for you. And when they do it, you're thankful for it. And I just thank God for allowing you to be as obedient to give towards. It's been through a lot of, paid through a lot of hospital parking and tolls and hospital bills. And so I'm just so thankful for the love that my congregation and has shown me. I like to thank, and my family's here, and my wife is here. Beautiful wife and beautiful family are here all the way from Missouri City, Texas to come help and support here today. And so I'm just so happy to be here. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started here today. I'm praying that God will be used and use me today if I come deliver his word. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, God, for your presence, God. I pray, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you allow me to preach your word, God. Allow me to preach your word, God, so that your people will be edified, God, and the devil will be horrified. God, I pray, God, that your word will go forward, so, Lord, so that you can be glorified. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen, and glory to God. My first work experience out of college was in management and supervision in major retailers. At the age of 22, I barely knew how to supervise and manage myself. The challenge was is that I was trying to make people twice my age and being paid minimum wage, trying to show them and learn them how to do things. There was one thing that I really had to understand, and I really had to do and understand, is that there are three types of learners. There's visual learners. Those are the people that if they see something, then they can be able to do it. They can see somebody rollerblading, they can see somebody do exercise, and they can immediately do it just off of seeing it from the other person. There are auditory learners. Learners that acquire knowledge like listening to an audio Bible and being able to recite it right after. These are the people that can listen and then do. And then you have your kinesthetic learners. These are your outline fillers, right? These are the people that are hands-on learners, and they have to, you can put them in the classroom for hours. You can put them in the classroom for months, but they will not learn unless they actually start to do. Kinesthetic learners are the basis of performing activities to a perfect in a repetitive way to perfect a skill. So, for example, parents have used this concept over the years with their very own children. If a child is told several times to do a thing or do something or to change a certain behavior, maybe it's to clean their room, or maybe it's to wash the dishes, or maybe to take out the trash. And the auditory capabilities aren't functioning currently in that child. And it hasn't kicked in to the full force. Your old school parents would say something like this: Oh, I can show you better than I can tell. Y'all have some parents like that? How many in here, y'all have said that, if y'all have heard that, I can show you better than I can tell you? And at that point, the auditory learning style is over. And you need to incorporate some physical, I mean, some kinesthetic learning method to your child so they can have firsthand experience on how to motivate and change that behavior. Amen. Glory to God. It has been said experience is a good teacher, but if the experience is bad and painful, then the tendency is to learn it much faster and our efforts to not repeat it. And so my question is today for you here today, and I want to pose for you here today, is how does God have to teach you? How does God have to teach us? Our Almighty God is the ultimate teacher, and he will use any means necessary to help you learn. God is constantly offering lessons through life experiences and circumstances. The question is, are we opening to listening and learning? Some of God's lessons are easy to receive, but some circumstances require overwhelming amounts of struggle to grasp the concept. And so I want to speak to y'all from the topic today, what to do when life be lifing. What to do when life be lifing. God speaks through circumstances. I know this is 8 o'clock and I know that's bad grammar, but it's good preaching, right? What to do when life has been lifing. And our foundational text for today is Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. You read it earlier today. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways you acknowledge him, and he will do this. He will make straight your paths. The passage is familiar to most Bible readers, but if you don't know it, hopefully the Lord will press upon your heart today. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. He is the wisest person in the Bible, and most of this book is written like a father talking to his son. And my son is mentioned over 15 times in chapter 1 through 7. The father is trying to impart some wisdom on his son. And this father has been through some life circumstances and wanted to drop some sermonic nuggets on his kid. Right? And so if anybody has a son, your mentor, a son, you know that young men, they could be a little bit more industrial swint than our sisters in here. And you have to put something a little bit extra in them for them to understand what that sometimes is not going to be with the auditory. It's going to be with the kinesthetic. And so the Proverbs is a book filled with promises, not for now, but it's not a book of promises. But it's a book of probability for the future. For example, Proverbs 16:18 says, arrogance puts a person at risk for disaster. Or it says, a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet that you can't get away from. It's not a promise that a nagging wife is hard to escape or get away from. It's just a probability that you can't get away from it. Oh. That won't help us, Father. It's a great chance that arrogance leads to disaster, but it's not a promise, right? But when we get here in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we see the prescription of what happens when you trust in the Lord with all your heart. He will do some straightening, and it doesn't happen by your own power, but by his power. And I don't know about you, but I have trusted in my own ways and I've learned and leaned on my own understanding. And my crooked paths have become complex mazes. And I've tried to straighten it out, but I had to submit to the power of God. God has tried to teach me through listening to his word. You go to church and you listen to the pastor every single Sunday. God has tried me to try to listening by reading his word. Pastor passes out the outlines and gives you scriptures every single Sunday so that you can learn. But the Lord would have it, the Lord's word is given and he speaks through life circumstances. My life has been lifing. Is there anybody else here in the church this morning that has been through some life circumstances that made you jacked up and messed up? And it has you so jacked up and so messed up when you come here to church on Sunday, deacon such and such, usher such and such, or greeter such and such, ask you how you doing today. And you're so messed up, you don't even know how to respond. You just say, deacon such and such, and sister such and such, I'm doing good. Because if you were truthful in that time period, you didn't know how to feel. You didn't know if you were sad. You didn't know if you were upset. You didn't know if you were, you didn't know if you were frustrated. You didn't know if you were embarrassed, tired, bewildered, befuddled. Maybe it's just me. And maybe I'm just preaching to myself today, but that's okay. Maybe I'm preaching just to the cold weather, but that's okay. Me and God going to have a word here today. I'm talking about your mama sick, your kids sick. Job sucks, marriage is bad, your husband is acting up, your wife is running amok, your kids are acting up, you're teaching the child while they're young, but it always seems like they're departing from your ways. Satan's attacking your physical body. You don't know your left from your right, you don't know your back from your front. You can't remember like you used to. Life is a conundrum and circumstances look real bleak. What do you do in a situational circumstances seem to be getting the best of you in your life? What to do? What do you do when life has been lifing? Well, I'm glad you asked. It brings me to my first point. You must stop leaning on your own understanding. You must stop leaning on your own understanding. And this is, see it right there in verse 5, part B. And do not lean on your own understanding. I want y'all to underline do not. And you're like, I know, preacher, this is an 8 o'clock service. It's not the old 12 o'clock service. You know, we've been reading English for a long time. I see it right there in place. I know you do, but do you do? Do you lean on your own understanding when you go through things because God will have you go through things that you can't understand and that your degree can't define? Leaning is a trust and support system that somebody supports upon themselves. I said it earlier here today. I gave an example about the love that everybody has showed me here at the church with me and my daughter Faith. She has gone through her health challenges and just started at the age of 2. She's going on 5, but she's been struggles with a very rare condition. It's called moyamoya. It's a vascular condition where basically, in short, her blood vessels are continually thin. And her blood vessels continue to thin until she has a stroke. And so she's had multiple strokes here and multiple over 3 strokes since the age of 2. There is no cure for this condition. She has this condition for the rest of her life. It affects more of the Japanese community, hence the term moyamoya. And no, neither my brown-skinned wife have any Japanese in my family. But the best way to treat this condition is to take the temple vein on your side of your head to open up the skull and relocate the vein on top of the head. It's a rare condition to have on one side of your brain, but my daughter has it on 3. So she's had to have 3 major brain surgeries. After the first surgery, her wound kept opening up. She had to have 5 revision surgeries. And in the hospital between that time period and the revision surgeries, she caught parainfluenza, rhinovirus, and had an infection that she would be in the hospital for 2 more months. Eventually, since the wound kept opening up because her spinal fluid was leaking, they finally had to put a permanent shunt and drain that leakage from her brain all the way to her stomach. Her condition isn't going to get any better with the surgeries hopeful to get a little bit better. But when you're in the hospital, since your child is 2 and they're making decisions on everything by the hour, she was on what they call 24-hour watch. So every hour on the hour, somebody would be in there to, either check her blood pressure, check her temperature. Every surgery that she had, it was taken more and more, and she came back less and less. She had her second surgery and woke up and everything was fine, right? She was fine and went back to sleep, and she had a massive stroke. And she was no longer able to walk and talk. She still to this day can't say dad or mom. After almost 70 days in the hospital, with every hour checking up on her, she still wasn't released, and she still couldn't say any words. And after the MRI, they did an MRI on her. They saw that it came back, and it's in the back of her brain, and she had to have a third surgery. To say the least, I'm saying all this life has been life, right? In a hospital, trying to make sense of all this nonsense, right? Fighting for my daughter's life and for another opinion, telling the infectious disease doctor that he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm telling the neurosurgeon he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm in a hospital battling for my baby. I'm in a hospital trying to lean on my own understanding. We even did a genetics test. We did a genetics test, and we were like, maybe it's some recessive trait in our bodies that would cause this disease. They found nothing. I'm in the hospital trying to understand and trying to make sense. And you know what God showed me through the circumstance? It doesn't have to make sense to me. Your understanding is not a prerequisite to show you what God is trying to teach you. And you know what I learned? I trust too much in my own understanding. See, I think with my process of reasoning, and I think with my whole level of degree that I earned, that I can make sense out of nonsense. Lord told me that understanding that what happened in life is not only going to do it. If you understood everything that happened, then you would be the teacher and not the student. The Bible says that God is the potter. And we are the clay. He is molding us and shaping us through life circumstances. And we're not going to understand that everything is God is doing. And we have to be okay with that. Because if you're not okay with it, it's still going to happen. What God's speaking to you, and how is God speaking to you and your circumstances? He is showing you you can't lean upon your own understanding and that he will work it out. But guess what? My daughter's turning 5. She's walking, she's not talking, but she understands everything that God is telling us, and she understands and gets everything that she wants, even though she can't talk. I don't know how she does it. When you lean on your understanding, you miss what God is speaking to you in your circumstance. God is trying to show you something in your struggle, and you're too busy leaning and posted up in your own understanding, you miss what God is trying to tell you. I want to release you today. You're not going to understand all of what God is doing for you, doing in your life until you get to glory. But God is teaching you through your struggle. Which brings me to my point number 2. You need to learn to acknowledge God when you're going through and go through life circumstances. I want you to circle or highlight all. Circle or highlight all. Most of you know, y'all been here, while we actually changed our mission statement to love all people instead of loving people, because we have a tendency to love the people that we already love. And I see that the writer in Proverbs is saying that you acknowledge him in all that he does, in all ways acknowledge him. Not in some ways, not when situations are good, not when situations are good, not when you have a good job, not when you have everything right in life. But it says in all circumstances, you must acknowledge him. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 42, the ESV version says, and this is Jesus, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Some are familiar with this story. Jesus is on his way to Calvary, and he's praying for his father, remove this cup and remove this future circumstance and pain that he was destined to go through. Jesus is like, man, can I hold on? Wait, look, if I can dodge this bullet, God, if I can, you know, hey, we can work this out for your children. That's your kids. That's my future brothers and sisters, but that's your kids. Y'all ever heard that? It's like, get your kid, right? Jesus had the human desire not to go through the cross, but he shows us an example on how to handle something. We have to submit and acknowledge God through it all. Praise through the pain. Praise in the pain. Praise after the pain. Praise when you don't even feel like your prayer worked. Solomon is telling his son to acknowledge him in everything. When you get fired from your job, when you lose a loved one, when you gain one, when you get a new job, Jesus acknowledges God and submits to him even in facing the cross. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, the ESV version. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I will be content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's read Psalms chapter 73, verse 24 together. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Last week, Reverend Simpson talked about Paul and the thorn in his flesh. Paul's life was life, and right? And a thorn and a seed of Satan had come upon him. But you know what happened? He acknowledged God. He still acknowledged God, and not only did he acknowledge him, but he boasted in him. When you know and you acknowledge God's strength and your weakness, you submit to his power, and you get peace and contentment knowing that you're not in control. Man, when you're going through your circumstances, God can give you that peace and contentment. You got to realize that you're not in control. It's not your will, but God's will. Jesus is content with the wrath to come, even with the wrath of the cross. So if you want to know what to do when life has been life, and you must stop leaning on your own understanding and acknowledge God in all his ways. And last but least, and I'll go sit down all by my lonesome. You have to fully trust in God. You have to fully trust in God. What is this word trust that we use here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see it in chapter 3, verse 5, the A part. Trust is to be secure, to be bold, and you can write it in on your outlines, to be confident and confident. It's like being careless. Like, well, you know, when a child is careless, my oldest daughter, her name is Joy, and she really fulfills that name. She walks around. I'll try to be walking through the neighborhood or try to get some type of physical activity in to get some fat off my back. And I'll be walking with my daughter. She'll be in a stroller. She walked. And she's one of those people that she will stop and say hello to everybody. And you know how some kids, they'll say hello and they'll just keep walking. No, my daughter says, no, hello, my name is Joy Carmel Campbell. What's your name? My sister's in the hospital. Her room is empty right now. But baby, what? She stops everybody that we're walking with. Now I got to have a conversation with them. I was just trying to get the fat on my back, right? And she's so friendly and so joyous that I worry about it. I had to have a conversation. Hey, baby, you can't just be so touching on everybody, right? But her life is just so carefree. And as we get as adult life, we get so careful because we lose that trust. Have you ever believed in something but not fully trusted in it? It's like in your mind, your mind wants to trust in it, but your body's not going with you. It's like trying to jump off a ledge knowing you got two or three parachutes on and a net, but you still can't jump. Do you fully trust in God past your own understanding and belief? Pastor said a few weeks ago, God can't take you where you won't trust him. God can't take you where you won't trust him. You have to trust God before the journey to get into your destination. Life be lifing, and you have to stay in lifing because you're not trusting. God is wanting you to trust him in all circumstances. Life is stressing you out. Life is choking your life out. Life is killing you softly because you're not trusting God. God is speaking to you in your circumstances, but you're unwilling to trust him. God is talking, and he is like, it's like a Charlie Brown Christmas. It's womp, 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 womp. You know it's hard to trust because of our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, right? They didn't fully trust God. They questioned what God is saying. They sinned against him. Now we have the proclivity not to trust him and not trust what he fully speaks to us in our lives. You can say that some people say the first sin was when they ate of the fruit, but you can really say it's really when they didn't trust God at his word. We have to stop following the first Adam and follow the greater Adam in Jesus Christ. Let's read Mark chapter 9, verse 24 together. It says, immediately the father of the child cried and said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Verse 23 says, Jesus in 23 says that all things are possible for those who trust and believe. Commit your way to the Lord. This is Psalms 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. When life be lifing, you have to remember to stop leaning on your own understanding. You must acknowledge God through it all and trust the Lord with all you have. When do you lean on God? When you have to trust him through your circumstances. And when you trust him with your circumstances, in verse 6, it gives a promise. He will make your path straight. Hearing, reading, doing. How do you learn? How have you learned through the circumstances you have been through and you're going through? How has God spoke to you in your life circumstances? The good news is, because we have God that speaks through our circumstances, he gives us a circumstance in Jesus on how to get through. God speaks through Jesus' circumstances on the cross, and so that we all can benefit. So when life be life and God be God. When life be life and God is speaking, when life be life and God is working out a plan, when life is life and he's sending a plan, when life is life and Jesus is living, when life is life and Jesus is dying, when life is life and the cross is crossing out my sins, when life is life and the cross is saving me from myself, when life is life and the cross makes my path straight, God speaks to our circumstances in Jesus, and we can learn through the circumstance that he has. See, the word of God says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me through righteousness. He leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, it says that I shall fear no evil. He says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You are my rod. You are my staff. You comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says, trust in God when life be life. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, plans for not evil, but to give you a future and hope. Trust in the God with all your circumstances. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God that he gives victory through his Lord and Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord and stop leaning on your own wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, seated in the heavenly places, even as he chose us before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He predestined us to adoption to himself for the sons through Jesus Christ, according to himself, and the sons through Christ Jesus, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us. Trust the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in the trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and you have been raised up with him and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, in order that you might be the first among many brothers. And those who predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. You must trust God. So the question is today, when will you trust God? When we stop leaning on your own understanding and your own knowledge? You don't have to keep dialoguing and debating. All you have to do is trust in what God has done for you. And for some of us, God has called you to a church home. God has called you here this morning. If you hear 8 o'clock, there was something that God was telling you. It was rainy, it was cold. But God is saying, I want you to be a part of a church home. And some of us, man, we're not trusting God, and you just need prayer. And so right now, if you're not trusting in God and you need a word, you need a prayer, you need to be a part of a church home, or you need to confess and believe in what Jesus Christ has done to you or done for you, we want you just to come. So come now. When are you going to trust God?